there's a tremendous media thing about mental health, loneliness, mental health, loneliness. So it's an epidemic because it's also popular. It's in our faces, it's in the media, it's code words, it's catchwords. So there's been many research projects that have shown that many people suffer from symptoms of a disease they don't have just because they've heard about it. And so now people are hearing about this disease called, you know, extreme loneliness, mental health issues. Many people are festering that because they're hearing about it. So they need to be in a place where they're hearing about their innate wholeness. They need to hear from somebody that there's something about them that's good, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, and we need to uncover that.
What is your relationship with your spirituality? How do you take back your mind when it is constantly bombarded with outside noise, influences, pressures, and expectations? Well, welcome to The Brave Table. I'm your host, Dr. Neetha, and this is your oasis, your destination for all things being just a little bit more brave, brave in your actions, in your relationships, in your conversations, and in your life. And if you are new, welcome. This is your oasis. You've arrived. And today we have the most special guest, somebody that I have honestly been looking up to as a mentor and someone that really brought me into my own lens of spirituality, I want to say about 10 years ago during one of my dark nights of the soul. And it's been such a full circle moment to bring him and sit with him on the Brave Table this week. And it is none other than the one and only Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith. Dr. Michael is not only a trailblazing figure in spirituality and a member of Oprah's Super Soul 100 group, he has left an indelible mark with his influential teachings and original ideologies. He is the founder of the Agape Center and has not only guided and transformed the lives of millions of people globally, but has also addressed the UN General Assembly and co-founded the Association of Global New Thought. Beckwith's commitment to world peace has earned him prestigious awards, including the Gandhi King Ikeda Award, and his core purpose is to share love, light, and enlightenment to help individuals discover their authentic life purpose. His holistic approach to mind and spirit, combined with a focus on physical and mental wellness, empowers him to fulfill his true calling and inspire others to do the same. In a world yearning for deeper understanding, Beckwith's understandings and teachings resonate with those seeking spiritual growth, earning him praise from figures like Oprah Winfrey for his profound insights into the human experience. I just love his voice, and I've been literally following him for years. And in this conversation, we talk about his newest project, which is his podcast, How to Take Back Your Mind. And he goes back into his own journey and intersection with spirituality. And we get into his famous life visioning process and how to imagine and envision the life that you want. And we also dive into some of the current issues that we face with our own mental health challenges and how to bring us back into alignment with our own soul's purpose. And of course, we end with how to begin your own daily spiritual practice. I think you are going to love this conversation. We had a lot of fun filming this in LA when I saw him, and he is just the truest walk your talk kind of guy. And so if you are in LA, I highly, highly recommend to check out the Agape Spiritual Center. There is nothing like it anywhere in the world. And you can also live stream it because it is live on Sundays, but you'll get a taste of our conversation as we sit with Dr. Michael Beckwith on the Brave Table this week. Life's moments come with their ups and downs, but every experience is an opportunity for growth and connection. Introducing our very popular That Sucked, Now What? Specifically crafted 44-prompt conversation card deck and our 52 card deck of affirmation cards designed to transform your relationships with brave conversations and interaction in your life. Imagine peeling back the layers of everyday conversations to reveal deeper, more meaningful connections. Our conversation cards are your key to unlocking stories, laughter, and understanding among friends, family, or even just going a little bit deeper. And now with our affirmation cards, start every day with a positive nudge. 52 powerful affirmations to remind you of your boldness, your unapologetic resilience, and your worth. A simple practice that can dramatically shift and change your perspective and uplift your spirit in your day-to-day. Now, these are not just cards. They are gateways to deeper self-growth and self-understanding and brave conversations. Whether it is for yourself or a thoughtful gift, head over to thatsuckednowwhat.com. That is thatsuckednowwhat.com and grab your bundle today. Now back to the show. Dr. Michael.
Wow. Nita, Dr. Nita.
It has been such a long time coming. And I just have to say, and I don't think you know this, because we met a few times. And I'm so honored to actually say it on the Brave Table now that you're our guest. But we met about 8 years ago, like in 2015. This was when you were passing out the Transcendence.
The Transcendence music.
The music, yeah. The CD. And it was an event that I was at in Boulder.
Wow.
And you were speaking there. And I mean, I heard you and I was going through obviously a transition. I just sold my practice. Mm-hmm. And you were one of the pillars of that journey.
Wow.
And then I met you, of course, 2016. A-Fest, yes, Cancun, yes, and yes. That's where we got to connect.
Yes.
And here you are.
As soon as I walked in, I said, I know this person.
It's the hat.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've been part of so many people's transformational spiritual journey. And I want to start there. How did you come to your spiritual journey?
Well, the Cliff Note version is my last year at USC, the psychobiology major there. I was moving towards perhaps going to med school. Mm. And I had a series of inner experiences that at the time I labeled pathological because I wasn't on any particular spiritual path.
Yeah.
So I actually thought I was going crazy. Mm. You know, I was astral traveling.
And for those who don't know what astral traveling is.
I was actually leaving my body.
Yeah. While you were meditating.
No, I wasn't even meditating sometimes. One time I remember just laying on the couch and suddenly I was above my body. Then I was at my mother's house and I saw her cooking. And so when I came back to my body, I picked up the phone. I said, Mom, are you wearing a blue dress? She said, yes. I said, are you cooking chicken? She said, yes. So I knew the experience was valid, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I did at that time, I stopped smoking weed. I said, this has got to be the weed. But anyway, the experience is intensified.
Yeah.
To the point where I had a powerful lucid dream that had been haunting me for months. Mm-hmm. And in this dream, finally, these men held me down. Two men held me down. One plunged a knife in my heart. Mm. The pain physically was excruciating. Emotionally, it was excruciating. And I died. And when I woke up, I could see that I was surrounded by this field of such beauty and such love. The love was penetrating every cell of my being. If I talk about it long enough, I'll get emotional about it. Mm. The beauty, I could look at a piece of lint on a rug. It was alive, shining and glowing. And I never could get back in that box. Mm. So what happened was I went on a research project in my own life to discover what had happened to me. Mm. And in so doing, I bumped into the mystical teachings of Jesus, Buddha, studied Bhagavad Gita, the Dhammapada, and Walter Russell was a great influence at the time. And then I saw a correspondence between these mystics who had had these tremendous openings and what was happening to me. And it gave me some solace that I wasn't going crazy. Mm-hmm. And then most of the teachings at that time came from dead people. I mean, I was actually communicating with people that were great teachers.
Oh, wow.
And so that didn't start my public expression. I was very quiet, a very introspective kind of guy, for the most part, 80%. And so I never thought of myself as a public person. Mm-hmm. It took a few years to integrate. Matter of fact, at that particular time, I changed my name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my name was Param Atman.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, okay. I was reading the Upanishads and the name popped out. It lit up in the book. Paramatman, the aspect of the Atman presence that's... So I took the name.
Paramatman.
And I had a newsletter.
And Atman, it means the soul.
Yes.
Too.
I had a newsletter written by Paramatman.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was a whole thing. And then I took my name back because I wanted Michael to evolve.
Yeah.
I didn't want to split.
Right.
And then little by little, you know, things began to happen in my life where people wanted to be... I lost all my friends, first of all. Mm-hmm. So the new level of friendship that came, people wanted to be around me.
Mm.
They wanted to, you know, they'd ask me questions. I would do healings and things like that. And one day, my mother wanted me to go to this metaphysical church.
Mm.
I didn't want to go to a church because I left the church when I was 16. The theology was a bit off. And I said, no, I'm not going. Mm. And she said, Michael, this is different. This is metaphysical. This is what you're going through.
Mm.
So I went. It was a church called the Guidance Church of Religious Science. The founder was a man by the name of Dr. Daniel L. Morgan. God bless him.
Mm.
I'm in my early 20s. I'm walking down the aisle. He's already speaking.
Mm. And your mom was an advocate for you.
My mom and her good friend, Lissa Sprinkles, they were into metaphysics.
Okay.
And so when they saw me have this opening, because I changed so radically that they knew, you know, something was up with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking down the aisle, and Dr. Dan says, heaven and hell aren't places, they're states of consciousness. And I shouted out, he's right! You know, what? They say this in church?
<You know? laughs>
So anyway, the next day I was in his class, and he was giving me language to the inner experiences I was having.
Wow.
And at that church, they had a licensing around being a spiritual therapist.
Mm.
I said, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. I took all the classes. It was probably at the time about a 5-year process, like 2 years to get the accreditation of classes, then another 2 years of training. So I did that. I was a spiritual therapist for 7 years.
Wow.
I saw 6 to 8 people every single day, 6 days a week.
Wow.
I saw a lot of miracles. Still not a public person. I'm one-on-one.
Mm.
Started having little seminars, things like that before they were popular. Always sold out. And then one day, I'm sitting, we just finished, me and a friend of mine by the name of Nirvana Gale.
Mm.
I'm sitting in we just finished this 5-week class, and I'm sad. I can't figure out why I'm sad. Then I realize we've just graduated all these people, but they're going back out into the world.
Mm.
There's no base.
Right.
So we started funneling these people to guidance. There was something stirring in me. So I decided to enroll in this metaphysical ministerial school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to be a minister.
Okay.
I'm going just to be on the learning edge.
Wow.
That's all.
Mm.
I'm meeting people, taking classes. I'm really engaging with the professors. You know, it was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing my thing. And then one day, it's a 3-year program.
Oh, wow.
It took me 5 years to get out of it because I wasn't trying to graduate.
Mm.
So one day, the 5th year, I'm taking classes, the assistant dean comes to me and she says, Michael, when are you going to graduate? I said, I'm not trying to graduate. I just love being in the energy of the conversation.
Yeah.
And she says, are you aware that alumni get all classes for free? I said, really? So I took a full load, graduated, and then all this energy was on me to do something. I didn't want to start anything.
Wow. Is that when you started Agape?
Yeah. Right after that, I went to an oracle that was a good friend of Lissa Sprinkles. I'd had a light experience where the top of my head had cracked open and this light went through my body.
Mm.
And Lissa said, why don't you go see Reverend June and see what she has to say as a medium? So I go over to Reverend June's house. I don't know her personally. And we're walking into her living room where she's going to give me this reading from the ancestors and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she stops and she turns around and she says, we've opened you at the top of your head. The Christ energy has gone through your being. You'll never have to prepare to speak again. I said, what?
Oh, wow.
So I sat down and she gave me this reading and she described Agape.
Mm.
Still didn't start it. About a year later, I got another reading from her and she said, in substance, the ancestor said, if you don't do this, there's no reason for you to be on the planet. You're only doing your work halfway. I said, wow.
Mm.
So my life shrunk. I was the director of training at a prayer ministry. I was doing my own thing and everything just kind of started falling apart.
Mm.
And I went to Mexico I was sitting in a hot tub and I looked up and I had a vision and I saw agape. Mm. I saw the spiritual center. Mm-hmm. Then I had a dream. In the dream, I was really small. And I was walking down the street and all this energy was coming out of this building. Mm. It was music. It was all these people were in love. It was white, black, straight, gay. Everybody was. And the voices said, this is what we want you to do. Mm. And I said, I don't know how to do that. And they said, you say yes, we'll do the rest. So I surrendered. And then I started a vision group. And then I was led to Santa Monica to start. And that's the Cliff Notes version. There was a lot of things that happened in that. But I started Agape November the 30th, 1986.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I have so many stories from Agape. It's one of the things that we miss as a family, even just moving from LA 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And when I went to the Agape Spiritual Center, this was shortly after I'd met you the first time. And there was nothing like, I had never been to something like this. I felt like, because growing up with religious dogma, my mom being Catholic, my dad being Hindu, and my dad was very spiritual. He's like, go to all of the things. And he exposed us. We went to the mosque when we were younger. We went to the Gurdwara. We did pilgrimages back to India. And when you grow up in that, you kind of just take it for granted.
Right.
It's only now that, like, you know, spirituality is cool. But back then, my dad was meditating 2 hours on a Sunday.
Yes.
And then, of course, in the Midwest, you have a lot of these mega churches, and a lot of my cousins are kind of now, you know, part of that, no shade on dogma at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little.
I mean.
dogma, come on.
Well, we can get into that.
No, but it does benefit a lot of people.
It does. Yeah. And I want to kind of, to your point, because going to Agape Spiritual Center, it just blew my heart and mind and soul of, oh my gosh, this is like what my dad wanted us to have.
Oh,
and
wow.
Here you are. Just, yes, the structure is so beautiful, but I felt like there was so much community, so much love, so much reverence for spirituality. So can you just talk to us in our audience about, what is the difference between spirituality and dogma? And for those who are looking, maybe they're having their own spiritual awakening.
Yes.
And maybe they're listening to this and you for the first time. What can you share as, you know, some of those elements that they can notice within themselves?
Right. Well, I think there's a great awakening happening right now where people are able to discern between religiosity and true religion or spirituality. Religiosity, you're bound by certain, the dogma is the canons, whatever the holy writ is that one is studying as the word of God. And oftentimes a religion will have people go through intermediaries, whereas spirituality, you are taught and inspired and encouraged to go direct to the presence that's within all of us. So true religion is a vehicle or a transportation, a transformation to the transcendent. But some people just get stuck just in being in the religion rather than where the religion is to take you. Whatever it is, there's mysticism in every religion. Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, mystical Christianity takes you into a transcendent awareness of your oneness with life, your oneness with the presence. But some people get stuck in the religion. And when they get stuck in the man-made religion, they actually believe that, okay, this is the only way. This religion is better than that religion. Mm. Well, this religion may be better for you, but it might not be better for that person. So I would say that religion is a transportation. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you to wake up. So even at Agape, we train people, yeah, there's a field that is produced by Agape. It's a field. I mean, there's energy underneath my word. Mm-hmm. We have practitioners that are holding a field. But you're not to get caught up in Agape. Let Agape inspire you. Go to the classes. Definitely feel the community. But we want you to go direct to the presence. Mm-hmm. So if Agape disappears tomorrow, you have your connection with God. You see, or if you move to the Midwest, or if you move somewhere Agape isn't, even though there's live streaming and YouTube and all of that, Mm-hmm. You still have your spiritual practices that take you direct to the presence. And I think every great teacher, whether it's Yeshua ben Joseph, sometimes called Jesus the Christ, or Gautama the Buddha, they were all taking people to look within. Mm. That's where it is. That's where the juice is. It's inside of you, you see, not in a religious structure. You survived Catholicism.
I did.
You know, that's deep structure.
Recovering Catholic.
Yeah.
And I think for the longest time, you know, I felt like, because I lost my parents very young, and I felt like I needed to uphold the tradition.
Ah.
And going to Catholic church with my brother, that was like a thing. And
you're honoring your parents, your mother.
Yeah, honoring my parents. Yeah. Absolutely. And it was like, okay, this is a tradition that we would do. Mm-hmm. And it would be such a remembrance of, you know, just our rituals that we would do as a family.
Sure.
But then later on, when I would visit some of the ashrams that I grew up going to, or mm-hmm. just kind of the, you know, holy places in India, or even, you know, in ayahuasca ceremonies mm-hmm. or just plant medicine, I'm like, oh, okay, I get what this divinity is within myself. And yes. you are so brilliant at articulating this. I'm so glad that you have your new podcast out.
Thank you.
Take Back Your Mind.
Yes.
I was waiting and hoping for when is Dr. Michael going to put his wisdom into a podcast?
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about Take Back Your Mind? Because I have a few questions around that.
Yeah, well, I think it's maybe a year going into now. I lose track of time. I'm not a time guy.
Amazing.
But I've had a number of guests. And basically, I took the name Take Back Your Mind because the mind, being a set of programs, has been hijacked by the world. It's been hijacked by the greatest virus, which is the virus of fear, worry, doubt. And so Take Back Your Mind is basically reminding people that we don't want our minds hijacked. We want to take it back and have a level of sovereignty over what goes in. When somebody asks for your attention, you can say no. You know, no, you're not going to get my attention, whether that's commercials on television, whether that's the news media, whether that's the latest censored stuff that we're hearing from Western media. You know, you can say no and instead choose what you want in your mind. Choose what you want to read. Choose who you want to hear and choose inspiration. Mm-hmm. Choose wisdom. Choose something that's going to help you. That choose something that's going to bring you back to yourself. Don't just aimlessly go out into the world and allow things to just be dumped into your mind. Mm. So that was why I chose the name. I think I just did a month series called Take Back Your Mind. Mm. So when I was asked, what do you want to call it? Just call it Take Back Your Mind. Mm. And so it allows me to teach that and then have guests on that give their particular viewpoint, whether it's, you know, Sean Stevenson or Eyala Van Zandt or whoever I'm having, you know, mm-hmm. their particular nuanced approach. And we chop it up. We get into good conversation mm-hmm. about technologies and how we're imprinted and how to dissolve the imprint so that we can be actually spiritually liberated, to be spiritually free.
Yeah.
So it really grew really fast. I mean, it's a couple hundred thousand in like 2 or 3 months. I didn't know that.
It's amazing.
I was sitting with somebody and they gave me the analytics. I said, what?
Well, Dr. Michael, everyone wants to listen to you.
Hey, love. Want to go deeper and behind the scenes with our mini trainings with some of our guests on the Brave Table? Then become an insider and get the inside scoop. It's absolutely free and you'll unlock private mini trainings that will help you be even more brave in your relationships as we go deeper in certain areas of your life. So become an insider today for free at neethabhushan.com/insiders. That's INSIDERS. And learn from the Vice documentary Shaft on Pleasure, Dr. Kate Northrup on Money Blocks, Karen Rockland on Speaking Your Truth, and Dr. Nisha Khanna on Women's Health, and so, so much more. And guess what? It's all free when you go to Neetha, that's N-E-E-T-A, Bhushan, BHUSHAN.com/insiders. Grab your inside scoop today. And now back to the show.
To your point about having this quote unquote mental mind pollution that right. we're walking into on the daily, what do you think that young people can kind of do to protect themselves and protect their mind as they're kind of filtering out? And do you think that's in contributing to these high rates of, you know, mental health illnesses that we have?
Well, that's a very complex question. There's a whole lot of information there. Mm-hmm. But I think to the first part of your question, it's not just what we can do, but it's also what we shouldn't do. Mm. It's like a lot of the younger generation really lives on social media. So what one should not do, I don't like to use the word should, but what I would encourage people not to do is don't jump into your social media the first thing in the morning. Mm. You want to jump into the life you want to live. Mm. You want to write that life down. You want to say something like, what would it be like if I was totally healthy, if I was living my dharma, mm-hmm. if I was living the life of my dreams, if I was actually giving the gift that I came to give? You know, it doesn't have to be that way, but you can begin to write down best case scenarios for every area of your life, including your friends and family. Mm-hmm. So the first thing you do when you wake up, take a deep breath, you smile, let those tonic chemicals go through your body, and you read that.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like your life visioning exercise.
Yes.
That you've been known for yes, like 30
short,
years.
It's the short version.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Let me just finish this one point. And then in the evening, don't fall asleep in front of the television. Read the same thing as you're going to sleep, because that goes directly into your subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. When you wake up, you're still sleepy. You're in the hypnagogic state. You can clean up your mind when you're going to sleep. Same thing. And then that's what you don't do.
Okay.
And then what you do, people talk about food for thought. I say thought for food. Mm. You know, make sure that you have some time during the day where you're sitting, you're observing yourself, you're establishing some level of intention. Many years ago, I used to say people suffer from IDD, attention deficit disorder. Mm. They have no intention.
Intention deficit disorder.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah. They just go out into the world and just react to things. But if you have an intention which serves as a rudder, then your intention starts to dominate the direction of your life. And even when challenges come up, you know where you're going. Mm-hmm. I'm going towards health. I'm going towards beauty. I'm going towards love. That's my intention. So if an individual has intention, they're stopping on a regular basis and just observing themselves, embracing their intention with their attention. This is just small things. Mm-hmm. It's not even the whole life visioning process yet. You know, there'll be a trend of one's life. And they'll start to notice opportunities, openings, people coming into their lives that they didn't notice before because their mind was so clouded with reacting to circumstances. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's just basic things that people can do. But it has a big effect. If you take a rudder on a boat, you just change it a little bit.
Yeah.
The direction changes a lot. Mm. So if a person has a modicum of an intention every day, the trajectory of their life will change.
And it's like these small, tiny little steps
right.
that can make such profound change.
Right.
Yet it's so easy to pick up the phone in the morning as soon as we wake up. And for a lot of Brave Table Fam listeners, I know a lot of you are mamas.
And you got to check on that baby.
And we're in the trenches.
Yeah.
And so the first thing is either I've got two little ones, you know, they're 2 and 5 and they're just ready to jump on me.
Yeah.
In the morning. And so for the folks who are kind of like in the trenches of life where they're listening to this and they're like, yeah, okay, I hear this, Dr. Michael.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to them?
You got two babies. You're waking up in the morning. You wake up, you smile. And obviously, those babies are your dharma. That's your job. And so what do? To the best of your ability, you're bringing the frequency of love. You're bringing the frequency of patience. Mm. It becomes a part of a moving meditation until there is a moment where they're either napping or they're doing something. And then mama has to take care of herself.
I love this. I love this.
Yeah.
Where it's you make it a sacred practice.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing and recapping what you're sharing, it's got to be intentional.
Oh, it has to be intentional. I have two kids, but they're adults now. But my daughter, she was in the bed, when I wake up in the morning, I would jump on her bed every morning and scream, life is good, life is good. She's a little girl. She said, Daddy, I'm trying to sleep. I said, no, it's time to wake up. Life is good. Life is good. And she still remembers that to this day. She's a grown woman. You know what I mean? It was just a part of my energy at that moment. Now, it's ingrained within her. Mm. The things that we teach, I wouldn't say it's old hat for her, but it's just integrated into her being. Mm. You know, she does her meditation, she does her life visioning. And my son, who's older than her, he's like the leader of his little group, you know. And then it's a funny thing because they don't tell anybody who their dad is, you know.
Of course not.
My daughter does a little bit because we look alike, you know. But later on, they'll say to my son, Michael Beckwith is your dad? Oh, no wonder. I get it now, you know. But they're not running around saying that. They're just themselves.
They're just being.
Yeah, just being themselves.
And it's because you started to infuse that daily.
Particularly the daughter, because I woke up after I had my son. So he saw me.
Oh, he saw you evolve.
He saw me evolve. And my daughter was born when I was already had a major awakening.
Right.
And my son has seen me awaken numerous times. And they love it. They love this guy. They would actually rather hang out with their dad than their own friends. For real. They're wild, you know.
Well, and you know, well, to the point about even kind of how what we pour into ourselves kind of shifts our energy state. What do you say to young people who are actually struggling in silence or struggling alone? There are higher rates of loneliness.
Yeah.
Now, I just read an article, the National Institutes of Health, where younger people are now facing isolation, loneliness, because they're on their devices more. And then we have this epidemic of mental health issues.
Yeah. That's the curse of the technology. Mm-hmm. Consciousness didn't grow with it. Mm-hmm. So instead of making us closer, it actually made us more separate because people began to base their self-esteem on how many friends they had, how many likes. If somebody criticizes them, they actually take that seriously. A stranger says something. And they actually take that seriously. It's nonsensical, you know. So going back to taking back your mind, it is good to find a community. That's where community becomes very important. You talked about agape.
Yep.
There are communities where people can come together. They can meditate. They can dance. They can do whatever so that people begin to learn one thing. This is a very important thing everyone has to eventually learn, is that you can be alone without being lonely. That's a state of consciousness, but it comes from meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, like for me, I like being alone. I'm a public person, but when I'm alone, I'm so happy. Mm-hmm. So if I can be alone and be happy, we put it this way, if a person can't be alone and be happy, they're going to have problems in relationships because they're going to try to get their joy from the relationship. Yep. That's going to cause an issue eventually. It's going to be a burden on the relationship. So I think that a lot of the mental obviously came down from historical locking down of healthy people. Mm-hmm. People became isolated. And then there's a tremendous media thing about mental health, loneliness, mental health, loneliness. So it's an epidemic because it's also popular.
And it's in our faces.
It's in our faces. It's in the media. It's code words. It's catchwords. You know, so there's been many research projects that have shown that many people suffer from symptoms of a disease they don't have just because they've heard about it. Mm-hmm. And so now people are hearing about this disease called, you know, extreme loneliness, mental health issues. Many people are festering that because they're hearing about it. So they need to be in a place where they're hearing about their innate wholeness. Mm. They need to hear from somebody that there's something about them that's good, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, and we need to uncover that. Because if I keep telling you, or you keep hearing mental illness is everywhere, the next thing is going to happen. The pharmaceutical company is going to have some good drugs for you. You know, there's going to be a whole nother industry that evolves because of it. And a high percentage of those people aren't even suffering from it. They're suffering from a belief that they have it, you see.
Mm, because subconsciously it's been planted.
It's in the atmosphere. It's like if you say it's flu season, people are going to get the flu. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no such thing in nature as a flu season. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. Pharmaceutical companies took that years ago and made it a thing. It just means that it's cold. Your immune system, for some people, it's not as strong. So they get a cold. You know, there's no such thing as a season for the flu. But, you know, God said, let there be flu season, you know.
I love that you're shining light on this. And it goes back to taking back your mind.
Right.
I feel like this is the theme of, you know, and you teach this so well, of how to actually be sovereign in our system as a whole.
Yes.
And what I'm also picking up on is it really depends on what we're feeding our mind. And we have the choice to knock out the noise pollution or the mental mind pollution.
Yes.
And whatever these subconscious stories, yes, that are kind of in our head.
Yes. Yes. I mean, why is it that somebody can be in shorts, t-shirt, and be out totally cold and not catch a cold? And somebody's all bundled up. And they get, you know, back in the day, it used to be if you sat in a draft, you got a cold. Now we know scientifically that's not true.
Right.
It's just a belief system. You have a weak immune system. Absolutely.
Mm.
But per average, it's a belief. You know, it's a belief. So why don't we change our belief? Why don't we start believing that our immune system is extremely strong? It's been given to us. As I stay in the feeling tone of joy for no reason, happiness for no reason, a sense of peace for no reason, my immune system adapts to that. My nervous system is recalibrated to that. I stay pretty much healthy because I've taken back my own mind, you see. But if you look at television, every commercial.
Yep.
I did this recently. I was watching a basketball game and I consciously watched the commercials. I did it consciously.
Oh, wow.
I just wouldn't say, what? Because normally I wouldn't do it.
How many of those pharmaceutical ads did you see?
Every single ad was either a fast food that wasn't good for someone.
Wow.
And they said, you can eat this and have a happy meal. Eat these things and be happy. All these chips and stuff. Then after that, it was sponsored by a pharmaceutical company. And I'm looking at them saying, this is the same kind of brainwashing,
wow,
that was done by Hitler.
Mm.
Telling a lie over and over and over again until it becomes a part of the mass belief, you know.
Mm.
So what if you programmed your mind, you watch this program, you watch these kind of podcasts on a regular basis.
On the daily. And it could be your morning routine.
Yes. What would happen if you actually got fed?
Mm-hmm.
Intrinsically, you're okay. Intrinsically, there's nothing wrong with you. Yes. You may have gone through challenges. Yes, you may not have had a perfect childhood. Yes, there may have been some abuse, some challenge. Yes, we're not saying none of those things didn't happen. But what if you're told on the daily that there's something about you that's unhurtable, untouchable, not based on time or experience, and you can find it?
Mm.
Life would be different.
Oh, so good. I feel like we need a little dose of Dr. Michael every day. I feel like, that's why you're in my back pocket.
Is it Transcendance or what is it? Podcast? What is it?
Transcendance and Take Back Your Mind podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad that you were able to make a point to stop by here in person.
Absolutely.
And so where can we learn about agape? Where can we learn about, I mean, Take Back Your Mind is literally on all
podcasts. It's
podcast
everywhere. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple. If they're in the LA area, they can come in person. If not, obviously, they can watch our YouTube channel or go directly to the website, which is agapelive.com,
okay.
agapelive.com. They can find what I'm doing personally at michaelbeckwith.com.
Okay.
And I have a pretty robust Instagram page. I put something on there pretty much every day of inspiration, which links to my Facebook page. Mm. My LinkedIn page is about to be hyped up. You know,
I'm easy
to find. I look at my life now. You know, that guy years ago was so content to just be by himself, seeing his clients, having his weekends off. And now this guy's all over the place, you know.
I love it. I love it. And as we get into our igniting round, so you can go as fast as you want or as slow as you want, what does it mean to be brave in this stage of life?
It means going beyond the known to the unknown. Most people try to develop strategies to eke out happiness in their known paradigm. The goodies are in the unknown. The goodies are in the unknown. There are parts of you you don't even know exist yet. There's such infinite potential, and many people are trying to stay happy within a very small paradigm. It's like a little baby chick trying to stay happy in the egg. You know, they're sitting in the egg, they have all their food, they have the protective shell, but then they start to pollute their environment. And they, you know, what happens? They peck. Eventually, they come into a new world. So I think to be brave means you're living on the edge of discovering more about yourself.
Yeah. And one word that describes this season of life for you?
It's going to have to be three.
Okay.
Manifestation while resting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm going into a field. I've been going
so good
40 years.
You have been.
As a teacher. So now I'm into a feeling tone of rest. I'm going to manifest the next stage of my evolution while I'm in this deep rhythm of resting in the spirit.
So good.
Yeah.
Dr. Michael Beckwith, what an honor to sit with you at the Brave Table. You are so brand aligned with our brand colors. Yes, you are. The purple. Everyone, go ahead. Take Back Your Mind, one of your podcasts that you are listening to. And I can't wait to come back to Agape. I feel like just I'm missing that energy.
Are you tuning in at all on the online?
I haven't been able to, but I will. I will now because I forgot that you guys are you are online.
Oh, it's beautiful. Most people are online.
I miss it so much. But the in-person, but you know what? You're right. I got to do the online.
During the lockdown, within 3 months, I think it was 3 months, the online viewership went up 3 million people.
Oh my gosh.
Because everybody was locked in around the world.
Of course.
So definitely come online. Even before the lockdown, I was already online.
Yeah.
Most people are online because it's in 189 countries.
189 countries.
Yeah. They're tuning in. So if you sit there and you're very sensitive, you can feel the community around the world tuning in.
Yeah.
So definitely come in person, everybody. Come down. We don't say come down to Agape. We say come up to Agape.
Come up to Agape.
11 a.m. Pacific time meditation, 11:30 worship, celebration, fellowship service, and two services before that.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me say, take back your mind. It's yours.
Until next time on the Brave Table. So much love. Welcome back to the other side. And I have just linked the Take Your Mind Back podcast in the show notes. So go ahead, give Dr. Michael a follow. You can learn all about all of the other things that he has. Join the Agape Spiritual Center, and they live stream every Sunday. As well as if you are curious to know more of Dr. Michael's other books, you can go to michaelbeckwith.com. That is michaelbeckwith.com. He's also live on YouTube as well as TikTok and Instagram at Official Michael Beckwith. That is Official Michael Beckwith on Instagram and Michael Beckwith everywhere else. If you love this episode, please feel free to share it with a friend, a loved one, a colleague, to blow their mind and help them take their mind back. And if you haven't already left us a 5-star review, what are you waiting for? The entire month of April, while supplies last, we are giving you free books. That's right. You get a free signed copy of my 5-time award-winning best-selling book, That Sucked, Now What? If you go and screenshot your 5-star review, so go ahead to iTunes, go and scroll all the way down, and where it says add a review, go ahead and add your review and screenshot it, submit it to support@globalgrit.co, support@globalgrit.co, and we will give you a free gift. Thank you so, so much for tuning in always. Don't forget to be just a little bit more brave this week, and I will see you next time.